So our next presenter is Dr. Ghadar. She is a woman physician and public health professional from the Middle East with 5 years of postdoctoral experience in clinical medicine, public health, and medical education. Throughout her career, she has taken care of women and refugees in Lebanon and assumed multiple leadership positions in an organization that addresses important public health issues, including women's health and human rights. Her most recent research addresses gender wage inequality, breast cancer screening, and undiagnosed health.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Williams, for introducing me. Good afternoon, everyone. So the research that I'm going to share with you today is entitled Gender as a Predictor of Monthly Income Among Palestinian Refugees in Lebanon. This research was mentored by Dr. Sawsan Abdelrahim from the Department of Health Promotion and Community Health at the American University of Beirut. She's actually here with us today. We do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. In my talk today, I will start out with a brief background on gender wage inequalities internationally and in the Arab world, then move on to the rationale behind our study, a brief overview of methods, results, and conclusions, and maybe reflect a little bit on the implications and future research directions that are related to our findings. So the international literature that looked on gender wage inequalities has been rich in exploring multiple factors that are related to the concept, such as education, occupational segregation, family policies, and wage structure. And it has given a lot of recommendations related to these factors to decrease the gender wage gap. In the US, gender wage inequalities was not only highlighted in the literature, but in policy-related endeavors, such as when President Obama signed in 2009 the Lilly-Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, and more recently actually in California, one California governor signed the Fair Pay Act. So what about gender wage inequalities in the Arab world? In the Arab Human Development Report, education was cited as being very important to decrease gender wage inequalities. And in their conclusion in this report, they relied on findings by Bughaddam 2005 in Jordan, in which educated employed women had suffered less of the gender wage gap as compared to the less educated employed women. However, when we look at literature from Egypt, education and skill accumulation among women in the labor force, particularly in the private sector, did not really decrease the gender wage gap. Also in Egypt, occupational segregation was cited as being very important in gender wage gaps in the private sector, and pay discrimination was higher for professional jobs and blue-collar jobs. In literature on long-term Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, it was shown that women have a limited labor force participation and that employed women tended to be better educated, yet they earned lower wages than men at every educational level. So what does all of this tell us? To start with, the concept of gender wage inequalities is relatively understudied in the Arab world. The results of the scant research related to this concept, and particularly to the role of education, is inconclusive. That is why in our study today, we are examining the question, is gender an important predictor of income among Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, even after controlling for educational level? But before I go to the methods, let me give you a quick overview of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. It is estimated that around 450,000 Palestinians in Lebanon are registered with the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. Mind you, this is a protracted refugee population. They face exclusionary policies related to their employment, to property ownership, and other civil rights. And because of that, many of them have immigrated outside of Lebanon, and the actual number that is registered with UNRWA ranges between 260,000 and 280,000. More than 50% of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon reside in official 12 refugee camps in the context of poverty and overcrowding, and the rest reside in unofficial gatherings, many of which have worse infrastructure than the official camps. So what did we do in our study? We conducted secondary analysis of data that was collected by the International Labour Organization using a household labour force survey for all Palestinian refugees who are residing in camps and gatherings in Lebanon. The aim of that survey was to fill the information gap on labour and employment conditions of Palestinians in the country. The data was collected between September 2011 and December 2011 using multi-stage cluster sampling. The total number of participants who filled the survey was approximately 7,000 participants, and these are participants who are 10 years of age and older. However, our study population of interest are those who are 21 years and older, because 21 is usually the age at which people or individuals in Lebanon finish their university education, and given we are interested in education, so we were only interested in this study population. That was around 5,241 individuals. Out of those, we included only the employed participants, that's around 2,466, around 2,000 of which were men, and around 450 of which were women. Our main dependent variable, it was mean monthly income for the main job of the participant. The main independent variable was gender. And of course, we are interested in a number of important covariates, the first set of which would be age and marital status. The second one would be educational level. And we also were interested in a third set related to occupation type and other work-related variables. So these are some of the results. I'm going to start out with summary statistics. The mean age of our participants was 38 years, and it was comparable between men and women. You can notice that the majority of employed men, around 75%, were married, compared to only 37.6% of employed women. Women tended to have a better educational profile as compared to employed men, whereby around 21% of them completed a secondary level, or as known in the US, a high school level education, compared to only 12.7% of employed men, and 20% of them completed university or higher studies education as compared to 9.7% of employed men. Women also tended to occupy jobs related to professions and white collar jobs, so I'm not going to share with you the numbers. In our bivariate analysis, we compared mean monthly income between men and women. And as you can see in this slide, there was a statistically significant difference in mean monthly income between the two genders at every educational level, with the highest mean difference registered for those who completed better educational profiles as secondary level education and university or higher studies. Mind you that the data that was collected, the monthly income was collected in the Lebanese currency, but we transformed it into dollars because, given this study. To further examine the association between gender and mean monthly income, we conducted multivariable linear regression analyses. In the first model that I'm showing in this slide, examines gender in relation to mean monthly income, but it controls for educational level and other variables such as age and marital status. So as you can see, gender is a significant predictor of mean monthly income even after controlling for education and other sociodemographic variables, and it is estimated that women on average earn $100 per month less than men. In this second model that I'm showing, we use the same variables, gender and educational level, age and marital status, but we additionally control for occupation type and other work-related variables. Some of these work-related variables are usual weekly working hours, the place of the work, whether inside the camp, outside of the camp, the sector of establishment, whether it's public sector or private sector, and the nationality of the employer, whether the employer was Palestinian or Lebanese. And as you can see, gender continues to be a significant predictor of income among Palestinian refugees, and with an estimate of women on average earning around $114 less than men. So what do all of these findings really tell us? So despite their more favorable educational profile, employed Palestinian women earn lower relative monthly income compared to men, even after adjusting for education and a number of work-related variables. And if you remember our bivariate analyses, the gender wage inequality persisted at every educational level, and in fact increased in magnitude at higher levels of education. Of course, there are implications to all of this. It means that even though providing girls and young women in the Arab world with equal opportunities for education is very important and a pressing need, in fact, it is not enough to address the gender wage gap in the region. The structural nature of gender inequality in Arab society persists beyond providing equal opportunity for education. That's why it's important to address inequalities in the structure of the labor force, particularly in terms of equal pay for equal work, and that would be the next phase of women's battle for equality in the Arab region. Before I conclude, I would like to acknowledge the International Labour Organization for sharing their data, Mr. Khalil Asmar, who provided us with his expert advice in the analysis, also Dean Iman Wahid and the University Student Faculty Committee for supporting this presentation at APHA, and also the Fogarty International Center and the Office of Dietary Supplements of the National Institute of Health for supporting the presentation also in this meeting. Thank you.